So finish these phrases for me. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now finish this one. Nice guys finish. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there's something about these phrases and these other kind of sentiments that really don't leave a lot of room for the Christ-like virtue of meekness. And a lot in our culture doesn't leave room for meekness. And I'm going to explain what meekness means, but it's kind of tough to define, to be honest with you. In fact, Bible commentators for, about 2,000 years have had difficulty really pinning this word down. Some words we have no doubt, this means this, always, no exceptions. The word meek can have a variety of meanings depending upon the context and depending upon the purpose of the one using it. But even that, it's kind of squishy. Well, why would God use a squishy word? I don't know if that's the technical term. But I think God is willing to use squishy words sometimes in Scripture, not because God is squishy, but because our experience is squishy. Sometimes we might think one thing and something else might happen. We might be expecting one thing and then another thing might happen. And so a lot of it is meant and intended to focus us not on what is squishy, which might be the word, but on the one who embodies it, which is Jesus, which is rock solid. Who is rock solid? So Jesus is the perfect embodiment of meekness, and that's going to kind of be fleshed out as we go through this. So let's read verse 5 together. I'll read it once and then we'll say it together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's read that together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Say it again. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We'll try it last time. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, help us to not only understand intellectually what meekness is this morning from your word, but help us to live it out as we desire to follow Christ, the most perfectly meek man who has ever lived. The embodiment, the perfection of this quality, this virtue of meekness. It's not so much that we should focus on meekness, but as we look at it, help us to see through meekness as it focuses our eyes more clearly on Jesus. We pray this in his great name. Amen. And I'm going to try to have the slides work, but they may not work. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's good. So as I said, the Greek word sometimes can be squishy, so it could be translated possibly. The Greek word could be translated possibly as gentle, humble, considerate, or courteous. Okay? Gentle, humble, considerate, or courteous. Now, all those things, depending upon the context, can be completely different, right? But they do have a general continuity to them. And so it might be helpful to see also what meekness is not in order to gain clarity on what meekness is. Meekness is the direct opposite of selfish ambition, envy, pride, and self-interest. Let me say that again. Meekness is the direct opposite of selfish ambition, envy, pride, and self-interest. So, yeah, you just have to ignore the screen. It's not working. In the context of the Beatitudes, meekness follows mourning over sin, which preceded it, and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which comes right after it. So those kind of bookend the context of what meek means, right? And so it's a clear indication that the gentleness Jesus is speaking of here is a spiritual gentleness. So we're not just talking about a disposition of a person's personality, a soft-spoken person. And so the meekness that is being addressed here is a spiritual meekness. It has to do with our spirit. So the gentleness of spirit that comes from knowing our spiritual need, mourning our sin, as we talked about, those two things that we'd have already talked about, and being secure in the knowledge that you have been forgiven by God leads to a gentleness in spirit. It means that if we have seen ourselves as poor in spirit, in need of God's grace and forgiveness, and we've received that forgiveness, Jane and I were talking about this the other day. If all of that has happened, we no longer need to go around, woe is me, with our heads down. We get to say, well, I don't feel poor in spirit. I feel rich in blessings. That's the whole point behind receiving the forgiveness of God, is that we no longer go around with the sackcloth of mourning over our sin on us. We get to rejoice that God has forgiven us. These spiritual dimensions create, these spiritual realities create in us gentleness. Now, I'm going to explain what that means in just a minute. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous Welsh preacher, he was also a doctor, an actual doctor, medical doctor, but he was a preacher as well. He said that true meekness is essentially a true view of one's self, expressing itself in an attitude and conduct with respect to others, that the man who is truly meek is the one who is truly amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. Basically, what he's saying is, it does boil down to some humility, that we don't presume upon the grace of God, and therefore we don't presume upon the kindness of others. We're grateful for that which we receive from God and we receive from others. But I'll give you an example of how this can sometimes be more difficult in real life. How many of you have ever said in a moment of honesty with God, "Lord, please have mercy on me, a sinner"? Have you ever said that? I mean, we say it in our invitation to confession all the time, and you had a moment like, "Lord, I made this terrible mistake. Please, please forgive me. Please have mercy on me." Okay, so we've probably all said that at one point in our life or another, hopefully regularly. Now, it's one thing for us to admit that to God, but what about if someone walked up to you and said, "Hey, you're a sinner"? How would it feel? Probably not as good as confessing it to the Lord, right? So there's something about confessing something to God that it feels different than someone telling us the very same thing we know to be true about ourselves. The distance between those two things, honesty and gentleness in our relationship with God, and honesty and gentleness when other people approach us, that's how we grow in meekness. And the closer those two things can be together, the more meek we are. Does that make sense? It means the more gentle. So if someone comes and points their finger in my face and says, "You are a dirty, rotten sinner," if I'm meek, I will be less inclined to defend myself and more inclined to affirm what if they are saying something that's biblical. I would say, "You know what? Left to myself, amen, brother. You're right. Amen, sister. I am miserable in my own flesh, in my own sinfulness. Without the hope of the gospel, you're exactly right. I'm sorry." But, right, we have the hope of the gospel. So we'll look at that in just a second, what the blessing is here if we recognize this about ourselves. Also, one thing that I've heard people say many times, we should never confuse meekness with weakness. Turn the M upside down to a W and you've made a terrible mistake. Okay, meekness is not weakness. In fact, meekness, I've heard other times, defined as strength without having to assert itself. So sometimes strength, a person who's strong wants you to know they're strong and wants to make sure they prove that they're strong. Think about a bully on the schoolyard. "I'm the biggest, I'm the baddest, I'm going to prove it to you." Well, a meek person might be the smallest kid. In fact, there's a video that I think is kind of interesting. I don't like seeing little kids get beat up, but this 12-year-old punk, he's, you know, twice as big as this other kid, and he's sticking his finger right in his chest, and he's saying, "You know, you better give me that," and it's a real video. It's actually, you know, you can see this on YouTube. "You know, you better do this, you give me your money," and na-na-na-na-na, typical bully kind of stuff. And this other 12-year-old said, "Please leave me alone. Please don't talk to me. Please don't do that. Please don't da-da-da-da." And it didn't stop, it didn't stop, it didn't stop. Finally, the bully grabbed the kid and shoved him up against the locker. And this 12-year-old, unbeknownst to the bully, was a black belt in jiu-jitsu, grabbed the kid's arm, flipped him over, had him in an arm bar, which is a jiu-jitsu move, and the kid was screaming in pain, and the little kid would not let him go until he said, "Say you're sorry." So he said, "Okay, I'm sorry, not to me, say you're sorry to the other kids," because he had been bullying other kids. So see, that little kid was being meek. He wasn't just, you know, beating this kid up to prove a point to himself. He was actually trying to help restore some sort of balance of justice between this bully and the kids he had been bullying, not just for himself, but for others. That little kid's strong. He is certainly not weak, but he is meek. Does that illustrate the point okay? I think that's a good example of it. And a good example in biblical, the biblical account is Moses. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth." Listen very carefully to this, though. I just want to make sure we get this. Moses was bold. Moses was courageous. So being meek does not mean you're not courageous, not bold, not outspoken. It means you don't use your strength, you don't use your courage, you don't use your boldness, you don't use even your powerful, strong, loud, boisterous personality. It means you don't use it for your own selfish gain. If you use it, if you have one of those kind of personalities, I've been told I have a kind of loud personality and I'm, you know, can kind of be very direct with people. My hope is, of course, I'm very imperfect and very sinful in a lot of ways, and my hope would be that I would always use my personality to accomplish God's will. So it doesn't matter if you're loud or quiet, if you're soft-spoken or boisterous, personality means nothing. The question is, why are you doing the things you do? Because if you use the gifts God has given you to serve and honor Him and to love and serve others with His grace, then you are being meek. No matter what your personality may look like on the outside, if that is your heart's intention, you then are being meek. So what's the blessing for meekness? Nothing short of the earth itself. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So there's a false idea about this that some will point out that, you know, the blessing for those who are meek is more earthly, more physical, as opposed to some of the other Beatitudes, the blessing where they're more spiritual, they're more heavenly. First of all, I don't think that's a very good interpretation of this because it ignores the fact that everything in the Beatitudes is spiritual, right? We've already talked about that. Everything is spiritual in the Beatitudes. So everything has a spiritual, not just a spiritual component, but a spiritual dimension to it that we must view it through in order to properly understand it. So it's not the poor, it's the poor in spirit, right? So it's not just the people who mourn in general, it's people that mourn sin, spiritual brokenness. And likewise here, it's not just the meek in personality, quiet, it's the quiet, humble, gentle in spirit that are blessed. Therefore, they're blessed spiritually. But what does it mean to be blessed spiritually by inheriting the earth? We see those things as different or opposite sometimes. But that's a wrong view of God's creation. You see, God didn't create the earth as kind of this thing down here that I don't have anything to do with. This is the real party up here in heaven. That's where we really get serious. No. That's the exact opposite of what Scripture teaches us. In fact, at the very end, I say this all the time, I beat this drum, at the very end, do we just have a new heavens? No. We have a new heavens and a new earth. What did God create so that He might send His Son into the midst to renew all things? Did He create a heavens? No, He primarily created an earth so that redemption and reconciliation with Him might be lived out. So the earth is not somehow different or opposite from God's spiritual kingdom. So I think what it means is this. Though to possess the earth in this sense is to first possess a quiet and contented existence while we live this life on earth. A quiet and contented existence, and I would add, in the will of God while we live life on this earth. So right now, coronavirus, can you be quiet and contented in spirit even in the midst of that? You can if you belong to God. Absolutely. You can if you have the peace of the Holy Spirit in your life. You might have it in small measure in other ways if you aren't a Christian, but the only way to truly have it, I believe, is to know that to live is Christ and die is gain. That's the way we face trials. And so trials, sufferings, they come. They cannot, though, no matter how hard they come to us, they cannot injure our true peace with the Lord. If we really have peace with the Lord, nothing can take that away. It can be assailed, it can be fought against, and Satan can try to take it, but if it's real, it cannot be taken from us. You know why? Because you don't hold on to it. It's not your grip that holds on to the peace of God in your life. It's God's hand holding it on you. And His hand doesn't let go. Have you ever had an inflatable pool toy and you've tried to pull it down under? You ever had that? and it pops back up. You might get it down for a second, and then it, you know, pops back up. I remember one time I told Zach, I said, okay, you push on this side, I'll push on this side, and we'll see how far we can get it down. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. I would say, in just kind of a silly way, you know, that inflatable raft, it's kind of like the peace of God. You might try to push it down. Satan may try to push it down and get rid of it and extinguish it, but the peace that keeps our lives buoyant on a turbulent sea that we walk in this world, it's not our ability to trust in God, it's God's ability to hold on to us, which will never weaken, will never wane, and will never wander away from us. On this point, John Stott says, the godless may boast and throw their weight about, yet real possession eludes their grasp. The meek, on the other hand, although they may be deprived and disenfranchised by men, yet because they know what it is to live and reign with Christ, can enjoy and even possess the earth which belongs to Christ. Meaning, we've been already told as Christians that all the riches in the heavenly places are ours. If all the riches in the heavenly places are ours, doesn't that also include all the riches in the earth? Well, certainly. Of course, we're not talking about physical riches. Some mistake it. Some misunderstand that to their own destruction. But Scripture's pretty clear. We're talking about heavenly riches, spiritual riches that are ours in certain measure here now, right now. Even though we don't already experience the fullness of it. Just turn to this one passage and we'll close. Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. So this contrast between when it looks like people in the world, the unbelievers, the wicked, are prospering. By the way, the other day I saw that some grocery store down south was charging $40 for a pack of toilet paper. Uh-huh. And you know, DAs are coming out saying we're going to prosecute that, and that's good. I would say that, you know, while it's not maybe on par with human trafficking or murder, that sort of attitude is evil, isn't it? That's evil. That's not trying to love your neighbor. That's trying to harm your neighbor to your own benefit. And sometimes it seems like people like that prosper on earth. And so how do we think about that in terms of this passage? The meek shall inherit the earth. It seems like the powerful, the wicked, the evil inherit the earth, doesn't it? So how do we you know, put those two seemingly opposite truths together? Well, Psalm 37 does that for us. Start there in verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself if it tends only to evil. For the evildoers, these are the people that have been, you know, talked about up until this point that seem to flourish. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. It seems like Jesus is quoting this passage, verse 11, right? Of course, I think he would have quoted this passage. It's God's truth from his own lips to the psalmist. And so, but it says almost the exact same things, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in the abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees his day coming. We can go on and on. Psalm 37 details that pretty extensively. But this passage makes it clear that we don't need to fear evildoers because their end is sure. And for a little time, it seems like they prosper. For a little while, it seems like the price gougers have won. For a little while, it seems like the people who rob and pollute and manipulate and harm and pervert justice are the victors, and that they have actually inherited the earth. But their time is short, Scripture tells us. We, the meek, those who know what it means to be gentle in spirit before the Lord because he has been gentle in spirit with us, shown us his grace, shown us his forgiveness. Those who know what it means to not have to boast about ourselves and puff out our chests and stomp around and act like bullies. Those of us who are content with what God chooses to give us, our daily bread. Those who look for God's provision in the midst of difficulty and trial. Those who are secure in times of insecurity. We, the meek, shall inherit the earth. Not just the physical earth, not just our little plot of land so we can have a house and a yard and dogs and cats and that's our place, that's our property, and when we get quarantined, we're okay, we got our little kingdom set up. No, we will inherit the earth. Because Psalm 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If it belongs to God, then it belongs to us. Now that is something that is truly blessed. As I said before, Jesus is the embodiment of this. Of course, Jesus is the embodiment of what meekness looks like, but also boldness, and those two things are not contradictory. I mean, think about it for a second. Jesus defied the devil right to his face, didn't he? Jesus made a whip and drove people out of the temple who were sinning. Jesus publicly rebuked the religious hypocrites and confronted the immoral power structures of pagan political authorities. Jesus battled sin and death on the cross and won. I mean, Jesus is powerful. Jesus, throughout his whole life, was not quiet and timid and fearful. But Jesus was meek, wasn't he? Psalm 53, in describing Jesus, says he will not cry aloud in the streets in order that he might draw attention to himself. And a bruised reed he will not break, meaning he is gentle with those who are suffering and hurting. Think about Jesus with the little children, which isn't just a cute Sunday school picture, right? Because everyone else was saying, come on, you got children in that society were meant to be seen and not heard and do work, sit down, shut up, do what you're told. They were, in many ways, for those that had been perverted in their view of God's plan, they were more seen as workers than they were as jewels to be guarded and cared for. And so while all these other people are disregarding children, Jesus takes that opportunity to gather them, and then what does he say? You guys think you're so hot? Unless you become like one of these, you can't even enter my kingdom. What do you think about these kids now? Reading between the lines there, right? Is it too much of a stretch for us to imagine meek and mild Jesus maybe taking one of those children who might be in an abusive home or in a situation of neglect and putting that child behind him and standing in between the abuser and the child who's been abused? Of course that's what Jesus would do. I'm so grateful that no matter what happens to us in this life, even if we don't perceive it and don't recognize it, that God has placed us behind his back and that he stands in between harm and us so that no harm that he has not ordained to come our way can befall us. Which means even if we experience difficulty and pain and sorrow, it is never for the purpose of killing us. Rather, it's more like a surgeon that inflicts pain so that we can be healed. But when it's real danger, when it is real harm, nothing can ever touch the meek of the earth because God protects us. And so when I think about how we shall inherit the earth, it's not just inheriting the earth, it's inheriting everything that God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, your word is clear. Not only shall the meek inherit the earth, but that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Therefore, everything that you have determined to give us, we shall have. We don't need to fight and scratch and claw for it. We don't need to hoard it and empty the shelves of it, as so many people are. Lord, it's all ours. And the thing that we have in greatest measure that those around us desperately need, that they cannot buy, they cannot get at a store, is peace. Peace with you, peace with themselves, and peace with whatever circumstances they may find themselves in. This greatest blessing of peace comes through the greatest blesser, Jesus Christ Himself. So as we seek to live our lives in a way that is meek and gentle in spirit, help us not to see meekness as the goal. Rather, meekness is the product of living with Jesus. Meekness is the product of being formed into the image of Christ. Meekness is the product or the fruit in our life that is brought about by abiding with Jesus. So Lord, abide with us today so that we might bear fruit in keeping with repentance. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.